really proud. It's not what I'm talking to that for, isn't it? Hello? Hello, hello. Brilliant. I'm just worried about this. Can I have another stand, somebody? Because it's just, okay. Fantastic. I'm so proud of you, Cheryl. Cheryl, talking to you. I'm really proud of you. Get to know Cheryl, get to know Michael, get to know the other guys. We know a little bit of their journey, but it costs lots to stand up here, and she was amazing. So I'm Adrian. I'm one of the team here with Dave, Tris, and a whole bunch of other people that helped church happen. And a lot of the things been happening behind the scenes, getting set up for this morning and every morning. So that's great. Lots to celebrate, isn't there? New life. And it's really exciting to be part of that. We're also connected with church in Turkey. And I just would love to pray. We've got friends out there, church I was with. And the guy, he's not been arrested, but he's not been allowed back in to Istanbul. So he's back in the States. But he's a pastor of a church. Imagine you come this morning and you hear Dave, Adrian, Tris have not been allowed. They've been deported. And so I'd love to pray for him. Imagine the church, his family. We want to see the kingdom of God advance. There's a church being planted, another one being planted this weekend elsewhere in Turkey. So we're excited. We love being here, but God in the nations. Father, we want to pray for us. Lord, would you here open our eyes, our ears to you and your glory. And yet, Father, we're not just ourselves here in Kettering, Lord. We have a heart for the town, the region, the nations. And so we want to pray for Mike and Laurie, God, and we pray for that church. God, we pray for your spirit. We pray for boldness and courage. Lord, we pray for church plants in the towns around, Corby, Kettering, Market Harbour. Do something, Lord, and in Turkey and the dozens of other nations too. So you be famous, Jesus. Amen. So I want to welcome you. If you are looking in and thinking, what is church? Why, it's not like I've seen on telly. It's great, isn't it? This is church. This is church as we know it. This is one of the styles of church. And Jesus is alive. That's basically what we're celebrating. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that. We use the Bible. It's our book. It's not a rule book. It's a love letter that reveals God through people like you and I. So when you read it, don't look at their perfect people. Actually, go through everyone. They're a mess. There are people whose lives were broken. There were adulterers. There were murderers. There were revolutionaries. There were bank robbers. There were thieves. And they all have an experience with God and working through. There were liars. Some of the most famous, in fact, most of the most famous, mess up with big lies in their lives. And then there's us. So this is a book about Jesus. It's a book start to finish, even the Old Testament, but we're not going to look at that. So we've been looking at events leading up to Easter. We call it, Easter's not a biblical word. Actually, Easter's a pagan festival. I don't know how many celebrated Easter. I guess we didn't. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because it's resurrection that fuels us, not just some dead, buried person. And I actually want to carry on the story of the resurrection because there's a bit that happens that most of us, we read over every now and then we forget and think, well, yeah, come on, let's get to some other stuff. You see, so Jesus, he died, he's buried in a tomb, he's raised from the dead, and none of his disciples believe, accept, or expect it. Okay, we read, you've known the stories, you sat through school assemblies, you sung about a green hill far away and all that stuff. But they had no expectation that Jesus would be alive. They were totally and utterly distraught that he was dead. They were totally unbelieving and amazed that he was alive. Okay, so when you read the stories, it's not some setup that these guys thought, okay, we've got to make a good happening out of something that's gone really bad. These guys are totally shocked and are writing and unpacking. And so Jesus appears, and he doesn't just appear to the 12 or his 11 disciples. He appears to hundreds, sometimes 500. Now, the writers record that, and that would be risky if it was a lie, because they name some of the people. And if you got the letter and you were read, you had the scroll years back, you could have gone and asked them, hey, your name's in here. Is it true? Now, if you've made up a story, you've got to go around even more people to make sure if anyone asks you, this is what you've got to say. But it's like the writers blow it so apart and says, ask anybody. Ask anybody. He's been seen in ones, in twos, and in hundreds. And then there's this other bit of the story that happens. Just as Jesus gets to the end of his ministry, the disciples are praying in a room, and Jesus comes, and he says, "You're going to wait. I'm going to do something that's going to... I mean, you thought this was good, guys. I've got some sad news. I'm going. I've got some good news. It's for your good that I go, because I'm going to send someone else." And it was good having Jesus, but he says, I need to go. I need to send someone to be with you. So that, like, there is, okay, who's it going to be? Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be an advocate. He's going to be God with you all at once. Before, guys, you had to come and find me and listen to me. Now, wherever you are on this planet, you can get to hear me, and I'll be close. I'm going to pour out my Spirit." So that's why I've got to go. And then they get excited and think, wow, okay, is this going to be like the freedom of Israel? And Jesus says, no. Friends, this gospel is not about the freedom of Israel. It's about the freedom of every person on the planet. Okay, we can get excited about what God's doing in every nation. Okay, every nation. And so Jesus says, come out with me, and they go to a hill. Okay, when you follow Jesus, you never knew what was going to happen. Okay, if you follow Jesus still, you just never know what's going to happen. So Jesus goes to this hillside, and they think, okay, maybe another prayer meeting. And then some angels appear, and Jesus basically goes up into the sky and disappears into the clouds. And his disciples are, oh, we didn't expect that to happen. Did you see what I see? And they record it. Now, again, if you're writing a story, a fairy story about someone who did some good stuff and then got killed, I mean, you're not going to put, and then he went up through the air and into the clouds, because nobody will believe you then, will you? I mean, you've got to have like some, he wandered off into the sunset and was never seen again. But, okay, we need to write a story, and he goes up into the clouds. I mean, come on, where does that happen? I mean, what other faith leader in the history of mankind has had like, I went up into the clouds? I mean, they die, they're heroes, we worship, people worship their tombs and the rest. But like, there isn't one for Jesus, and there's no place, there's no body, and he's gone. And so they write it down. And let me read you. Can we pop it up on the slide? If you want to follow, there's a bit in Acts, and there's a bit in Mark we're going to look at. They don't make too much of it, the writers, but this is what it says in Acts, which is like the first book after the Gospels. They were looking at, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him. And this is like the most amazing thing that's ever happened. And people don't generally levitate up through the air. And okay, he went up, and the cloud hid him. And full stop. They were looking intently up into the sky. I bet you are. So is that him? Oh no, that's a bird. Oh, it's gone. They were looking intently where he was going. And suddenly, two men dressed in white, angels, stood beside them. Men of Galilee. I mean, suddenly they appear. They stood beside them and said, "Why are you standing and looking to the sky?" Well, because Jesus was here, and now he's. Why are you standing? I mean, this same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. And they return from Jerusalem, from this hill, and get that. So then this is the end of Mark, Gospel of Mark. It says here, after the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word by the signs that accompanied it. Friends, when I read it, it's almost like a bit of an anticlimax. You've got Jesus doing the stuff, he's dead, he's risen, and now he's gone. For the disciples, it wasn't too big a thing in the calendar, but it was a really big thing in what followed. And I think you can read the rest of the book of Acts as an amplification of, he's gone, he's doing his stuff. He's gone and he's doing his stuff. So just want to unpack some things. Why is it so important? Because I've never celebrated Ascension Day, have you? And maybe have you given a card or had a special meal? I haven't. Why is it so important? For Acts and Mark, the whole point of the ascension is he's gone, we carry on. So that's why there's not two big things, because, well, he's just here with us by spirit rather than in person. Before there was one Jesus, 6 foot, however many kilograms, stone, or whatever. Now there's a Holy Spirit poured out on all nations. But we carry on. We know what we've got to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, preach the kingdom of God. That's what we do. And like I've already said, the reason he went was that he could pour out the Spirit. Okay, it was really important he went. So this is what we've got to do. And we just carry on. And the one became the 12, became the 72, became 5,000. Became, here we are in Kettering, UK, thousands of miles from Israel. And many of us saying, Jesus is alive and we've met him. Maybe even in Kettering, we've met him. He's alive. He's alive. Now this ascending and this going up, Jesus, it signified, I have finished what I've come to do. Now I'll send the Holy Spirit who will carry on. I have finished. Jesus says, I've finished. Not I am finished. I have finished. It is finished. His direct work on earth as a man, the God-man, had done. He had died. He had brought righteousness from God to us at his expense. And my screen's turned off. Why is that? Why do you do it now? And I can only do one thing at once. I'm a guy. Screen unlock. Thank you. Don't work with kids or IT. Right. Okay, so his ascensions was basically saying, I'm finished. It was like a coronation. It was like a triumphal declaration. I am finished. But there's something else that I get excited about in the sense of I'm finished. Do you know the most quoted Old Testament verse in the New Testament? Okay, there's one verse that comes up more than any other. And it's next. Can we have the next slide? Thanks. It's this verse here, Psalm 110, verse 1. Okay, Jesus, it's quoted, the David, the psalmist, the guy who writes the songs, the shepherd, says this. You right with the next slide, Dougie? Thanks. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Sit at my right hand until I make their enemies, your enemies, your footstool. So in the psalm, David saw something that God was saying, and he realized it wasn't to him. It wasn't about his name, David. It was about the son of David. So this is the most quoted Old Testament verse. What does that mean? So I want to change gear a little bit and say, actually, I'm on Jesus' behalf and make a declaration of war. This is a declaration of war, friends. Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. I'm seated at the Father's side. And because of that, I now reign. And I'm bringing everything in heaven and earth under that rule. Sit at my right hand until I make everything a footstool. Friends, this baptism this morning is a declaration of war. God's kingdom is like a light coming on in the darkness. It's peace breaking out in anger or fear. It's the rule of God who brings restoration, breaking out against an enemy of mankind, the devil, the liar, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I'm now the boss man. I'm now seated at the Father's hand and everything is being brought together. So friends, if you're a Christian or you're looking in, this is a sign-up day to join the army. The army, not with guns and military, but with a spiritual authority that will see all the cosmos restored. Because that's God's plan. That's God's plan. It's not just so that I will feel cleansed and renewed. And it's great we heard those people. Friends, the story of Christianity is sign up and be part of the army of God that takes this message to the ends of the earth, down your street, into another nation, across the town. Take the message of Jesus. That's what we sign up to. Friends, God calls us and he says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. Not so you feel warm and have the tingles. God, so you're an army because I'm sending you. And some of you are going to die. Some of you are going to take this message and be judged and stoned and killed. And by the way, Simon Peter, when you get killed, you're going to be crucified upside down and all the rest. Oh, the Spirit of God came on him. But Jesus says, it's good that I go and I'll pour out the Holy Spirit. The God-man you thought dead and buried is now alive, and he's bringing everything together. Everything. Will you be part of that? Maybe you're looking in and think, well, I thought I was just coming to a nice sing-song and see some friends baptized. Friends, I want to call up. I want to call you up and say, will you join the army of God? Friends, it will cost you everything. It will cost you everything as we lay our lives down for Jesus. So I was talking to this lady yesterday whose husband has been sent back to the States. I thought, how are you feeling about it all? She says, I want to be a woman of faith. And I thought, oh man, I would be like, oh, I'd be upset and grieved. Our friend Dave was in Sierra Leone just last week, and he was meeting some church leaders from another nation where there'd been a huge mudslide, and it had taken out many people from the church. Oh God, what is this? But have they packed up and thought, oh, this is a bit hard following Jesus? No, they say, we are following Jesus, and we are going to build church even in the midst of grief and disaster and pain. So friend, that's it. That's what we've been called to too. Not a comfy Christianity, songs of praise, let's sing a little bit, but to be an army of God. And we've been sent, the Spirit's been poured out. Another writer, Apostle Paul, says this in Corinthians 15, because of this, Christ will return having destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. This verse, the ascension of Jesus, is his declaration. I've gone up and I will come back and I will be king over everything. So the fact that he went lets us know he's going to come back. And this time when he comes back, he will be coming back with all of heaven shouting. There were some shepherds and some wise magi. How many there were, we don't know. There were some people that saw. There was Mary and Joseph and the stall and all of that. And a few people heard in a nation. He will come back, the angel said. And it unpacks, Paul and others unpack. He will come back this time with a shout, I'm back. And all of heaven is now man. And I brought everything under my feet. Not in a sense of standing on the neck and breaking and destroying, but just bringing life. I have brought life. Life is in me. And all of heaven will rejoice and say, you're the center. You're the focus of creation. Jesus. It will be like a reunion. Yesterday we were at a family wedding, and the bride comes through, and the groom, who's seen the bride so many times but never seen her in white and the dress, his eyes and his heart filled, and everyone looks, and oh, isn't it wonderful? That's what it's going to be like. Jesus, who's already seen us, it will be like a marriage, a wedding of the Lamb and the King, the Son of God. And they will be, oh, I've looked forward to this day. I celebrate, now you're my king. And it'd be like a ginormous wedding celebration. And the cake, and on the top of the cake would be you and I, and our people of God. And there would be no more death. There'd be no more sickness. There'd be no more sin and darkness and all the junk that craps up our lives. There'd be the peace of God and eternity with him, because Jesus went back. Isn't that amazing? Wow, I'd never realized this day was so good. This Ascension Day was so important. It's a declaration of war. Let me read you what it says in Ephesians. Ephesians 4. What a great passage, great book. The one who descended, so he's talking about Jesus. The one who descended, he came from heaven, the baby, and the rest. It's the very one who ascended. He's the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens. Why? In order to fill the whole universe. Jesus has gone back to fill the place, not be tucked away and say, is he the one? Jesus has gone back to fill the whole universe. So, okay, what? So Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, all part of him filling the earth. He's given influencers. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Wow, you called up in, it's like a gravitational pull. Hey, we thought it was just a little gathering and a sing, so God is drawing us up in this throne room of Christ, the body of Christ being built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Ah. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Friends, it's like it's like that invitation to the wedding. And you catch a glimpse of the dress through the window, through the lattice. Is she here? And then, wow, look at the radiant bride. God's invitation to us, to all of us, is get caught up in what he's doing and be drawn up. Be drawn up. Our friends, where are you looking? Where are you looking? The writer, again, Paul, he talks about set your mind on things above. Okay, Jesus is there and he's coming back. So often I'm looking here. Oh, I'm focused down here. Oh, friends, Jesus, you will make all things right. We were grieved. We buried Sally, one of our members last year. She died from cancer. But it's not the end, because we know actually she has risen for eternity. And the hope for all of us in Christ is that old death is like a sleep. Actually, it's not the end. Actually, it's an eternity with God. And one day then God in Jesus Christ will come back to this earth. And all the dead will rise in him. And there'll be a new planet. It will be made new. All of this stuff that is so good already actually is way less than it was designed to be. There'll be perfection. Okay, and there'll be no more all the bad stuff. There'll be all the good stuff. Friends, the ascension of Jesus draws us. Let's fix our eyes. It also draws us. It's like a tide. The tide is rising. The tide is rising. Friends, for your work tomorrow, what difference does it make that Jesus is at the Father's side? What difference does it make? If it makes no difference, then I think we've missed something of the gospel. Actually, it makes a difference because that's your authority to be who you are. Okay? It's not just, okay, I've sorted my life out and now got some goodwill statements that help me conquer and overcome. No, now I have an authority. And my authority is the one who's at God's side. Okay, God, how do you want me to exercise the authority is the question. Sometimes that is overt. Jesus is the way. He's the truth and the life. Sometimes it's authority to, like Mother Teresa, to get in the gutter and love. Because I know that that is the way that I'll express the authority, the love of Jesus, by humbling myself. So because he's risen and ascended, I can let go of everything that I need to be and become the lowest, knowing that he will lift me up. Ah, okay, and wherever we are in between those things, we can be authoritative and declarational and confrontational, or we can be completely humble and let go, knowing that the one who's seated will lift us up at the last day. We can't lose. We can't lose, and even if in it we are destroyed, we are broken, we're killed, we're martyred, actually there's a resurrection, because Jesus is bringing all things together, making his enemies a footstool. So friends, let me finish. When we release ministry gifts, when we release Dave to CLM, when we release Tris to serve, when we release Adrian, when we release many ones, we're getting in the flow of the river of what God is doing. When we pray for you and we release different ministries and to serve in Kettering and the church and around, when we pray for teachers or bankers or hospital workers, we're releasing this flood of this river from the risen Christ. This is so much more than coming to church and doing a good thing and keeping a bit busy on a Sunday every now and then. This is being caught up. This is being signed up. This is life with a purpose. This is life in fifth gear, fully caffeinated. Friends, let's wake up. God has called us. God has called us. Can you see the church alive? Those of us that have been around, I mean, look around. Look what God is doing. Friends, let's be caught up. Whatever age your life is at, wherever you're at, be caught up with what God's doing. Because he's alive and he's got a plan. Oh, Lord, I don't want to tinker around the edges. I want to live life full on. And I know you do too. Those people, you've been baptized. You've been immersed into this river of God that is filling the earth. You've been immersed into the flood of God's mercy and grace from this throne. You know, because he's ascended, the Bible says Jesus is talking, interceding to the Father. You have one who has fully empathized and sympathized and identified with mankind, talking to the Father and interceding. How does that happen? I haven't a clue. but he is calling out of God. Even his body, he could stand before the Father and say, Father, look at my scars. Remember the scars for Adrian, for Open Door, for Kettering. So we can come and we can plead the cross because he's not buried, but he's ascended. Because he's ascended, we have hope of a glorious future. The complete rule and reign of Jesus Christ. The complete rule and reign of Jesus Christ for all time over all cosmos. Because he ascended, he is going to come back. Jesus is going to come back. Will it be on Twitter? I'm sure it will be on Facebook. When will it be? I don't know. But every eye will see. Jesus will come back as surely as he went. The question is, what are you going to say when he does? And the choice of that is yours, really. I guess we're all going to say, Jesus Christ, in one way or the other. Jesus Christ, Lord, Saviour. Or some expletive and, Friends, I want to say to you this morning, what if today could be the day you cross over from Jesus Christ, what's that about, to Jesus Christ? Open my heart to it. What if today is, it becomes something in your heart, a story that you could be invited to, that you are invited to. What if today is the day, okay, I've got lots of questions, but I want to start working and answering. And maybe you've come with someone that can unpack. We would love to, in this church, spend some time. We will not force the answers on you, but we could look at the Bible through. We have Alpha courses. There's one going to be running in Burton Latimer soon, and one with the Hub. Every eye is going to see him. Okay, so if you were hoping maybe I could get away with, actually the Bible says every eye, your eye will see him. Okay, from life whilst you're on this planet in the garden or however it is, in death, Jesus is coming back. Friends, let your heart be full of worship. I want to encourage you. Let your heart be full of praise. Let your heart be full of adoration. Let your heart be, yes, it's the wedding of the Lamb. The bride has come and I'm part of this. Oh, Jesus, and we meet him and we glorify him and this planet and the rest of the cosmos. I can only think that the cosmos is so big, it's because we're going to have a long time to explore it. I mean, otherwise, why would God make all of that, all of this stuff? Oh, man. Friends, let's be those who say, Jesus, we're looking forward to your return. So I want to pray and I just invite you to pray with me. Just before I do that, so I wanted to read a Christmas carol. Do you know, you sing about this every year, probably. Once in Royal David City, stood a lowly cattle shed, you know, all the rest. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. And he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. He's bringing all things under his feet. And he sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus, Jesus, in a few minutes, Lord, we just catch a glimpse. Lord, we're caught by your glory. We're caught by you ascended. We're caught by you. You're not like us, and yet you're fully like us and crucified in weakness and shame. And yet now you're ascended to the Father's side. Oh God, open our eyes, open my eyes that we see you for who you are. God, we don't want to be caught up with rules, lists of things to do and don't, and Christian do-gooding. Lord, we want to be caught up by living a life in response to you on the throne and you're coming back. Lord, we want to be caught up with a sense that you are bringing all things together. Lord, that you are making all your enemies a footstool and we get to play a part. God, some of us are looking in. Some of us are here thinking, what is this? And we ask you, Jesus, if you're for real, would you show us? Would you show me? Oh, there's lots of other thoughts I've heard over the years. But if you're the one, like Adrian talked, will you show me? And maybe you've heard, if it actually, no, I'm in. I'm going to say, Jesus, I am in. Sign me up now. Where's the piece of paper? Friends, there isn't paper, but it is. It's our heart's response. So I want to say, Jesus, if that's your prayer, why don't we say, Jesus, I'm in. I'm signed up. Lord, I want my life to serve your reign. I want my muck washed away like I've seen in the baptistry pool. I want my hope restored. Jesus, I want to live for a king who conquers, not some systems that come and go. Jesus, amen. Holy Spirit, come on us, I pray. Holy Spirit, come. Just it may be your heart's burning. I've got to do something. I think, are we got time to sing? Maybe not. We got time to sing? So maybe we're singing. If you need to fetch children as we sing, then we'll be serving the kids team to do that. But if during this song you think, my heart is burning, I do not know what's going on. Sometimes when God's around, we feel things. We cry, we get hot, sweaty. Our heart, I think I've got to do something. Just come forward. I'd love to pray for you. A couple of others, we'd love to pray for you. That would be a really courageous thing. It may just be me that's feeling like hot and sweaty. But maybe you too think, I just need to do something. Then come forward. We're going to sing, but otherwise, parents, if you would fetch your kids, and then we buy the hot dogs and all the rest.
There we go. I think you can hear me now. Would you stand with me? So, here's what's happening. Those six beautiful people who've made their confessions of faith this morning and been baptized in water, I want to see them baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. Don't you? So if they want to, they may have already invited some people to pray with. If they want to have that affected through prayer, through hands being laid on, through praying with friends and family, then they're to come forward now, please. And those that they've invited to pray with them, come do that. Parents, if you've got kids in kids work, do go and get them too. The rest of us, let's sing. Let's seal the work of God in our hearts this morning. Let's remember Jesus is risen and alive. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will surely come again. And then we'll enjoy hot dogs. But if you want to stay here lingering in God's presence, please do. It's beautiful, isn't it? He's beautiful, isn't he? If you want to come and pray, fantastic. There's tea and coffee at the back and hot dogs. And over at the back, if you're particularly new and have a particular set of questions about a particularly weird Sunday, please come and meet with us just over here. Helen's going to wave at you. Helen's waving. If you're particularly new or particularly have questions, come and meet up with Helen. A couple of us leaders will come over and say hello and answer any questions you might have. Have a wonderful rest of your morning, everybody.